It's time to pull on your slippers, pour yourself a gin sour, and relax back into your armchair, because your favorite vigilante, Avon Lady, is about to visit.
Fall, 1943, New York. Betty Jones regained consciousness to the sound of scraping chairs and the smell of acrid cigar smoke filling her lungs. The skin around her mouth and nose stung like it had been burned. Her mouth tasted like copper pennies. The chloroform had left its mark. So, apparently, had her captors. Bruises were blooming on her cheek and collarbone. The telltale tightness of her skin suggested they were already swollen and darkening. Before she opened her eyes, she listened. Shuffles found her ears from every direction. Heavy breathing close by, on her right. A whimper from her left. The crackling broadcast from a wood tube radio playing somewhere behind her. The hollow notes of a jazz clarinet piped from the speakers, echoing off a surface not far in front of it and bouncing around, distorting her sense of space. Betty opened her eyes. A maze of heisted army supply crates, old furniture and bric-a-brac were piled to the roof in all directions, leaving no space bigger than a few meters wide, with the exception of a center of the room, where she currently sat. She didn't struggle against the chains that bound her hands behind her back. Just a gentle tug was enough to know that her wrists were securely attached to the chair. There was no need to move. Yet. Betty looked up at the man sitting opposite her. He was on a chair similar to her own, with nothing between them. Betty's eyes were like shards of ice. You will die. The man smiled and raised an eyebrow, his cigar in hand.
The good wife speaks.
He turned to the man beside him with a nasty grin.
She cooks, she cleans, she gets down on her hands and knees.
His companion sniggered, his heavily scarred face gloating. He was missing the top half of his right ear. To Betty's left, there was a long table, messy with interrupted packaging work. It was piled high with stolen military supplies of amphetamines that had been destined for the front. Wake-up pills for pilots and soldiers. A dozen unkempt boys had been disrupted from their work, no doubt by her arrival. And now they stood behind the table, their eyes to the floor, too terrified to look up. There was a movement in the mazes of boxes somewhere behind her, and Betty closed her eyes. With a huge effort against the pounding inside her head, she pulled the thoughts of the room in from around her.
The shufflers. How many? 7? 12? 19? 30? Yes.
30 men hidden in the shadows of crates and makeshift furniture around her. All brought in to make sure she never made it out alive. 32, including the two in front of her. Filth. Murderers. Mercenaries. Every one of them deserved to swallow his own bullet.
Let them leave,
Betty said, nodding toward the group of orphans cowering behind the packaging table.
They don't need to see this.
The man's eyes grew tight in thought as he looked to the boys.
Maybe they do,
he said provocatively.
This lot are my finest and smartest. The heirs to my empire, so to speak. You take my own boys away from me. I take them instead.
He stood up, letting his cigar hang from his mouth with his hands in his pockets as he turned towards the orphans, rolling on the balls of his feet.
Pay attention, kids,
he called out to them, his voice laced with dark humor.
I'm your family now, ain't I? Today's lesson is about trust. There are consequences for betraying trust in a family like ours.
He lifted his hand and reclaimed his cigar from where it dangled at the side of his mouth, leaving a trail of smoke.
Family is everything, Mrs. Betty Jones.
From the shadows around her, the mercenaries began closing in.
Shame. I always thought you had potential. I had my eye on you from the beginning, you know. Roy never saw it. He was too stupid. Even Frank never clued in. But I did. You were smarter than the rest. Even my own boys, God rest their souls. You had potential. You were useful. Like your mother was before she broke.
Betty caught his offsider's eye, and it narrowed critically in its ravaged frame.
Well, you'll find I'm not so easy to break.
Her captor tossed his burnt-out cigar on the floor and leaned over Betty, one hand on each side of her chair, his thumbs pressing against the outside of her legs. When his face was only inches from her own, he spoke again. His breath was hot and dank on her face, and every pore on his skin glistened with sweat.
You've had the curse on me for all these years,
he murmured with a dark grin. A tiny nerve under his left eye twitched. Betty took a deep breath and straightened her shoulders. A deliberate smile spread across her face, like a skilled artist painting on a mask. Radiant. Charming. Betty's eyes flashed, a little too bright, as if something inside had suddenly come unhinged.
Yes, I have. And I hope you're ready for that family reunion, Uncle Donnie. Because I'm ready to give you one.
Avon Calling Radio Serial. Written by Haley Camille. This is a full cast dramatization.
Avon Calling.